Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're just going to read a few verses towards the end. Mark chapter 1, verses 35, and we're going to read down to verse 39. It says this, and I'm reading from the NLT version, so it might be slightly different. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. This is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Before we look at this, let's take a wee minute to pray. God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would just minister it into our hearts and our minds tonight. Holy Spirit, come and speak, teaching every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder how you like to spend your time. Whenever you get a wee bit of you time, a wee bit of free time, I wonder how you like to spend it. We all need that time, don't we? We all need that wee bit of us time away from the busyness and the distractions of life, maybe away from people that do your head in every so often. You just need a bit of you time, don't you? And so I wonder how you like to spend your time. I wonder if any of you are like me and you like to play a bit of golf. Any golfers here tonight? No golfers? It's okay to raise your hand. You can raise your hand in church, yes. We have a few golfers. Maybe you're like me, I love to get out and play a game of golf. I try to get out at least once a week. I love getting out with a few friends, just hitting a few golf balls, a little bit of frustration out with the driver. It was great on Friday, beat Stephen Lamont. That was a great moment. I love to get out and play a bit of golf. Maybe you're someone, though, who, if they're busy day at work, busy day at the office or in school or whatever you've been doing, you just like to get home, put the feet up and watch a bit of TV. Wherever my PowerPoint has gone, I've lost it. There we go. Watch a bit of TV, watch a bit of a box set. Anybody watching a good box set at the moment? Good TV series? Johnny is. I have to get that off you afterwards. Maybe you're someone that likes just get home, put the feet up, watch a wee bit of TV, just unwind, relax. Maybe you're someone that just likes to go for a bit of a drive. Just get in the car and just hit the road and don't look back and just drive along. Anybody go for a Sunday drive today? Nobody? Yes, a few people went for a wee Sunday drive. Maybe you're someone, though, who, when you have a bit of free time to yourself, you just like to spend it with the family. Go spend some time with the kids or the grandkids, head down to the park, have a wee picnic. Just spend some quality time with your family. Or maybe when you get a chance to yourself, you just like to read a good book, a good magazine, a good blog online. You just like to read a wee bit. We all need that time to ourselves, don't we? Time away from the busyness, the hecticness of life. Just a bit of time to ourselves. Well, here in this passage in Mark, we see where Jesus went to spend a bit of time by himself. He had a bit of time to himself. He got away from the busyness of everything that was going on. He just spent some time by himself. And here we see a glimpse of what he liked to do when he had that time. Jesus, when he had a bit of time, decided to go and just spend it with God. Now, this is something that he didn't just do in this passage. This is something that Jesus liked to do quite often. We read in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We begin to see that in Matthew, where it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. We see it again in Luke, where it says, one of these days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent time that night praying to God. Jesus liked to get away from the busyness and everything else that was going on and just spend some alone time with God. Life can get a bit busy. We all can relate to that. We all know that life can be busy at times. And for Jesus, that was no different. His ministry was beginning to tick off. He had all these crowds that were coming around him looking for him to teach them. In the passage just before that, he just healed a load of people. His disciples were following him. Life was beginning to get busy. It was all leading up to the reason that he came, to go and to die on the cross, to rise again, to conquer death, to pay our debt. Life was getting busy. And in the midst of it all, Jesus goes away. It's away from the distractions, away from the busyness, and he spends some time with God himself. He prioritizes time with the Father. And so the question for you and me from this is, if Jesus, the Son of God, saw it important and needed to prioritize time with God in his life, how much more do we need to prioritize time with God in ours? If Jesus needed to be going off into an isolated place, away from the busyness, the distractions, and everything that was going on in his life, and just spend some quality time praying, communicating with God, how much more do we need to do that in our lives? And so tonight, I want to go slightly off the series that we've been looking at, but it's okay. I'll never give me permission to do this. Well, Alistair's away. He'll not know. It's okay. Unless he watches the recording, and then I might be in trouble. But I want to go slightly off topic and look at prioritizing time with the Father. Look at this model that Jesus said of going away and spending some time alone praying with God. I want to look at why it's so important for us to go into prayer, to have that time, that intimate individual time, communicating and sharing with God in our lives. Jesus very much had an outward ministry. His ministry was all about the people that were around him, the people that he'd come to save. And in the midst of him having an outward ministry, he always had an upward focus. God was always the focus. He knew the one that had sent them, and that was his focus. Rick Hill was here speaking at Spark a few weeks ago, and he described it like this. Jesus had his 5,000, he had his 72, he had his 12, he had his 3, but he always had his one. It was the 5,000, the crowds that came, that wanted to hear from him, that he taught, that he healed. In the midst of that, he had his 72 that were his followers. In the midst of that, he had 12 that he had chosen to be his disciples. He had the 3 that were slightly closer to him, but he always came back to the one. His ministry was an outward ministry, but his focus was always on God. He always saw the need and saw the importance of taking time often to withdraw and spend time with his Father. Jesus came for a purpose. He didn't just come to earth because he got bored in heaven. He came for a real purpose. That purpose was you and me. He came to pay our debt on the cross so that we could be forgiven for the things that we've done wrong, to drink from the cup that we should have drank from, as Johnny taught on last Sunday morning. That's the reason that Jesus came. In John 6:38, he says, "I did not come to do my will, but to do the will of the one who had sent me." He came to do the will of his Father, and he knew that in that ministry, he was going to need to spend time with the Father. He was going to need to spend time communicating, talking, sharing, and listening to God. And so what does that mean for our prayer life? What does that mean for me as a disciple of Jesus? If he saw it important to go and pray and spend time away from everything else, how much more important should I be taking my prayer life? Our prayer life needs to be vibrant. Our prayer life needs to be a priority in our lives. Prayer is a huge part of our life as a disciple. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're a disciple of Christ. Prayer has to be a huge part of the foundation of your life as a disciple. It has to play a huge role. Martin Luther said this. He said, "To be Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. To live, you have to breathe. You have to breathe in, and you have to breathe out." In the same way, to be Christian, to be a disciple, to flourish and grow in your journey, this adventure that you're on of following God, seeking to do his will, you need to be praying. You need to be talking to him. You need to be communicating with him. You need to be taking up that awesome privilege it is for us to actually be able to talk to God and for him to actually listen. We need to partake of that privilege. And so tonight, I want to quickly look at two reasons why it's important for us as Christians, to be prioritizing time with the Father. Why we need to learn from the model and from the routine that Jesus had in his life and apply it into ours. Why we need to be taking on all of these prayers that we've been looking at over the last 2 months and applying them daily, weekly into our lives. They just need to be human nature, natural to us in our lives. And I want to look at two quick reasons why that should be. The first one is we should be prioritizing time with the Father because it's a time to come. Being a disciple is about growing closer to God. It's about entering into this relationship, this friendship with God, Him as Lord, as Master of our lives, Him as Father. The Bible says that when we become Christians, we are adopted into His family as His sons and His daughters. We are in this relationship with God. And for any relationship to flourish, you have to talk. I'm going to do something really dangerous. I'm going to share a wee bit about my and Amy's relationship. I asked for permission this time, don't worry. Me and Amy, we got married recently in April. But to be honest, we don't really talk. Me and Amy don't really communicate that much. We maybe get up early in the morning and we maybe talk a wee bit. We maybe talk a wee bit before we go to bed, but not an awful lot. We don't really share an awful lot about what goes on in between in life. We don't really share, I don't really share an awful lot about what I'm at or what's going on in my life. If I'm really struggling or really need advice, I might go to Amy the odd time. Doesn't sound like a strong marriage, does it? Doesn't sound like a marriage that's going to flourish or going to grow. You'd be glad to know that that is not true. Our marriage is not like that. But the sad thing is, for so many of us, our prayer life is exactly like that. For so many of us, our relationship with God is maybe we talk to Him a wee bit in the morning, we talk to Him a wee bit at night, and everything in between is our time. Everything in between, we don't have time to prioritize talking to God. We don't have time to communicate with God. We don't have time to come to Him and invite Him to be a part of everything that is going on in our lives. If you want to grow as a Christian, if you want your walk with God to flourish, if you want to see Him use you to do some amazing things, you got to talk to Him. We need to prioritize time with the Father because it's a time to come. It's a time for us to bring every aspect of our lives to God in prayer. It's a time for us to come to Him and partake in those promises of cast every care upon Him because He cares for you. It's a time for us to follow that command of acknowledge Him in all our ways and He will guide our paths. It's a time for us to bring others to Him in prayer, crying out to Him for their salvation, for their restoration, for their healing, bringing those people that we encounter and meet in our everyday lives, prioritizing that time in our day, in our week, where we spend time with God is a time for us to just come to God and be real with Him. Say, God, look, this is what's going on in my life. God, I'm going to need You for this. It's a time for you to come to God and say, thanks, God. Thanks for all the blessings that You've placed in my life. It's a time for you just to come and worship Him for who He is, like Johnny spoke on this morning. Just say, God, thank You that You are You. Thank You that You are a good, good Father, that You are Lord. God, thank You that You love me. It's a time for us to come and invite God to be a part of our every day, to be part of our every week. We need that as disciples. If you're a Christian and you're in here tonight, you need to be prioritizing time with the Father. See, coming to God in prayer every day, just like Jesus did, is you physically inviting God to be a part of your day. It's you coming, maybe get at the start of the day, just like Jesus did here, saying, God, like this is what I've planned for today. And I pray, God, that You would be a part of every single bit of it. Or God, that You would just completely throw out my plans and tell me what Your plans are and I'll follow those. It's you physically inviting God, the creator of everything, to be a part of your day. Prioritizing that in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says that we should be praying without ceasing, morning, noon, and night, talking to God, asking God to be a part of our day, asking Him to guide us and to lead us. Don't underestimate the power of coming to God daily, weekly, in prayer, because it will radically shake up your life. Don't underestimate prioritizing time with the Father because it's a time for you to come. And Jesus understood that. Jesus saw that as a priority in his life. The second part that I want to look at is we need to prioritize time with the Father because it's a time for us to follow. Don't know where my PowerPoint's gone. We're back at the start. It's a time for us to follow God. Jesus came to do the will of God. He came to do the ministry for which God had sent them. Let's take a second and look at this passage again. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. This is why I came. Jesus goes out to this isolated place, and we're not told what Jesus prayed about. We're not told what him and God communicated about and shared about. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus goes away from the busyness of everything that's going on, spends time with God, and straight away comes back and says, this is what we need to do, and this is where we need to go. These are the people that I need to speak to. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus went and spent time with God, and he knew exactly where God was leading him to next. And so as a disciple, if we are to follow God and to do the will of God, if Jesus in his ministry saw it important to be seeking God's will, then we need to be doing the same. Because here's the thing. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are in ministry. And you are in full-time ministry. Ministry, part-time, full-time, is not reserved for someone like me as a youth worker. It's not reserved for someone like Eleanor as the deaconess, or for Aaron as the worship coordinator, or Johnny as the assistant, or Alistair as the minister. Every single one of us as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, are in ministry. The moment you become a Christian, you take your first step on this journey of following God, seeking to do his will, to do the ministry for which he has called you to do. Where you are in life, where God has placed you, the family that he has given you, the work colleagues that you have, the friends in school that you have, the friends just in general that you have, those people are the people that you are called to reach. Those people are the people that you are called to minister to. Those people are the people that you are called to share the love of God and the great truth of his gospel to every opportunity that you get. I, as a youth worker, will never be able to reach half of the young people, or most of the young people that the young people at this church come in contact with. It's their job. They're involved in the ministry. Alistair will never be able to reach the people in your work. That's your job as a Christian. Each one of us are called into ministry as Christians. And so if Jesus in his ministry saw it important to go and spend time with God, seeking his will, asking for advice, if he needed to draw from the strength of God, then so do we so much more. Prioritizing time with the Father is a time for you to follow. It's a time for you to come and ask God for guidance, for wisdom, for strength, for the boneless to stand up for your faith and to share it with the people that you meet, with the family that you live with the next door neighbor. We need to be prioritizing time with the Father. The people that you meet are the people you're called to share with. They're the people that you're called to pray with, and they're the people that you're called to pray for. Never underestimate praying for other people. Billy Graham once said this, if it's going to come up. He said, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get on our knees. If you want to see the people in your life that don't know Christ yet, if you want to see the people, the family, the friends that you know aren't Christians yet become Christians, then you've got to get on your knees and pray. If you want to see them get up on their feet and follow Christ as their disciple, you're going to first need to get down on your knees to pray. Yes, we have to share our faith. You have to share the gospel with them, share the amazing testimony of how he's changed and transformed your life and how he can do the same for them. Yes, we have to share his love. But it's not to do with us. God is the only one that can save them. And so we need to be on our knees praying for the people in our lives. If we as a church want to see God impact and change our local community, the Chains, Tully Garley, Galgorham, the Rosses, wherever it might be. We as a church need to get on our knees and pray for our local community. Yes, we need to be a presence in it. Yes, we need to go out and to reach those people. But it's so important that we be prayer warriors and on our knees praying for others. I'm an example of people putting this into practice. See, when I was younger as a teenager, I guarantee most people in my life would never have imagined me standing here on a Sunday night preaching to all of you. But I know that so many people were in the background praying for me, praying that my eyes would be opened to the fact that I needed God to be in my life, praying that he would use me to reach others. And because of those prayers, because God heard them and worked in my life, I'm right here, right now, in front of you. I've shared this before. I've shared it definitely in the midweek fellowship. I don't know if I shared it at the front of church. But one of the greatest prayer warriors in my life was my granddad. My granddad was not only just one of the greatest prayer warriors in my life, but he was one of the greatest prayer warriors for my entire family. My granddad had a routine. He got up every morning from when he got married, and he got on his knees beside his bed, and he prayed for my granny by name. He had four children. He got up every morning on his knees beside his bed, and he prayed for his four children. They got married, and he prayed for them and their spouses individually by name. He had 14 grandchildren. Every morning, on his knees, all 14 of us, individually, by name. He knew where we were at in life. He knew what we were doing. He knew where we were at in terms of our walk with God. And he cried out to God for each and every one of us. Every morning. It's a vivid memory of mine as a kid coming down the stairs after staying at their house. And just, you could hear him next door or see him just through the door on his knees beside his bed. My granddad died 4 years ago. He went to be with the Father in heaven, but he went there knowing that one day his wife would be there with him. He went there knowing that all four of his children would one day be there with him, that all of their spouses would be there, and that all 14 grandchildren would be in heaven one day with the Father. And you ask us, and we will tell you that he played a massive role in that. Because he got down on his knees every morning and he prayed for us. He prayed that God would impact and change our lives. Don't underestimate prayer. Don't underestimate praying for others. We were the family that my granddad was given. We were the ministry that he was given. He was given us as grandchildren, as children, as a wife, to share his faith with, to be an example to. And so he got down on his knees and he prayed for each of us. Don't underestimate praying for other people. We need to prioritize spending time with the Father. It's a time for us to follow. It's a time for us to come to God and say, God, what is your will? God, today is your day. I want to follow you in this day. Who do you want me to go reach, God? Show me the doors that you're opening today for me to share my faith, to share your love, to share your gospel. God, show me who you want me to pray with today. Show me who you want me to pray for. God, tell me what you want me to say. Prioritizing time with God in our day, in our week, is a time for us to come to God and say, God, here I am. Use me. I want to follow you today. I don't want to do what I've planned. I want to do what I want to do, God. I want to do your will and your will alone. Each of us are in ministry. A big part of that ministry has to be prioritizing time with the Father. Early the next day, before daybreak, Jesus went out to an isolated place and he prayed. Something that could so easily be missed. All of them wee passages could be so easily missed in amongst the rest of the text. But I think it's a bar that Jesus set for us. One that we probably will never be able to achieve. But he definitely set an example for us. He showed us that he saw it a priority to be spending time with God. Seeking God. Sharing with God. Communicating with God. And so the question is, if he needed to do it, how much more do we need to do it? If we want to see God use us, then we need to be coming to God and prayer. And so how do we respond? How do we as individuals, how do we as a church respond? Quite simply, I think we need to ask ourselves, where am I day? Where am I week? Am I prioritizing time with the Father? As you think of the rest of today, as you think of tomorrow, we need to challenge ourselves to think, have I made time for God in that day? Am I prioritizing time with God this week? As I, as a disciple, I'm on this journey this week of following him, where am I talking to him? Where am I asking him what it is he wants me to do this week? Are we just plain sailing through, not communicating with God, not taking up that amazing privilege to talk to the Father? Adrian Rogers once said this. He said, prayer is our greatest Christian privilege and our greatest Christian failure. I do not want that to be true in my life. I don't want that to be true in your life. I don't want that to be true for us as a church. It is our greatest Christian privilege that we get to pray to God, that we get to talk to him. It's our greatest privilege that he even listens to us, because there is no reason on earth why he should, and yet he does. Don't waste that privilege. Don't waste that amazing opportunity to come to God, the creator of all things, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and share with him, talk to him, pray with him, listen to him. Someone once told me, Peter, prayer is 20% us, 80% God. Because what God has to say is an awful lot more important than what I have to say. Don't forget to listen. We need to be prioritizing time with God, time with the Father in our lives. So often as a youth worker, I would meet up with young people, and some of the young people that are here can testify to this. Like, I don't have a problem asking somebody where they're at in their walk with God. Yes, we're in this individual relationship with God, but we're called to be in community with each other, and so I have no problem asking somebody, like, how's things with you and God? Not so that I can judge them, but so that I can encourage them and help them as they're on this journey of following after him. And so a lot of young people I'll ask, where are you at with God? How's things with you? How's things with your walk with God? And so often I get the response that the things are good, but life's really busy at the moment, and I'm struggling to find time to read my Bible or to pray or to talk to God. And as I'm sure as you get older, life only gets busier, and that becomes harder and harder and harder to do. But here's what I think we need to do. I think we need to stop trying to fit God into our diary and begin to fit our diary into God's. We need to stop trying to follow our plan and begin to follow the plan of God. Stop trying to plan our week or try to fit God somewhere into our week, and instead just fit our entire week into what he is doing. We need to come to God and say, look, God, here's my day. Use it. Whatever way you want to use it. I'm just going to follow. I'm going to let you do your thing. And I'm just going to be thankful that you choose to use me to do it. We need to, like Proverbs says, be acknowledge him in all our ways. Because when we do that, he will guide our path. We need to ask God to be a part of everything that we do. And so tonight, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to prioritize time with the Father. Tomorrow, tonight, somewhere in this week, prioritize time with God. Make God a part of everything that's going on in your life. Bring him into every aspect of your life. But Jesus quite clearly saw it important to just take a bit of time. Bit of you time, away from the distractions and busyness of everything that's going on, and just sit down with God and pray, read, listen. Allow him to speak to you, to guide you, to encourage you, to give you strength, to give you boldness. You need to prioritize time with the Father. I want to encourage you to do that tonight, because it's a time where you can come to him. You can just lay every aspect of your life at his feet. It's a time where you can ask for the strength and the boldness to follow after him. Don't waste the amazing privilege that we have of getting to communicate with God. As the band come up, I want to encourage you just to prioritize time with God. Find some time this week where you can just get away from everything else, whether it be when you come home from work, just sit on the sofa, and instead of turning on the TV, just spend some time praying. Maybe it is you like going for a drive. Well, get in the car and go for a drive and just spend time talking to God. Maybe don't close your eyes when you're praying that time, but just spend some time with Him. Maybe it's you as you want to spend some time with your family. Well, spend time as a family prioritizing time with God. Come to Him as a family. Ask Him to use you as a family. You need to prioritize time with the Father. We need to prioritize prayer in our life. It needs to be an integral part of who we are and what we do. And so having said that, let's spend some time to pray. God, we thank you for the amazing privilege that it is to come to you in prayer. God, we thank you that when we pray, you listen. And God, that you answer. It might not always be the answer that we expect or we want, but God, we thank you that you answer and that you do it out of love for us. God, help us this week to not try and plan it ourselves, but to ask you and to seek you what it is you want us to do this week. Seek you and ask you to open doors and show us the doors that you're opening for us to share our faith with other people. God, we want to prioritize time with you. Help us each to find that time, to find that place that we come to just sit before you and talk to you and listen. In Jesus' name, amen.